What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin, and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be on every episode.
Your other host, as I like to think of it.
Wait, we keep changing it. I thought you were co-host.
Other host.
Other in italics. Host.
That's right.
Two.
There's Ben, and there's the other host. We're not even sitting next to each other. I'm off in the shadows.
That is totally what your business card is going to say. I'm perfectly okay with Ben Carlin, host. Jay Carlin, other host.
In italics.
In italics.
My person card, you mean?
Yeah, it's your person card. You would need both business cards to understand the italics and that it is different.
Yeah.
Because other host could just look like you just put your job title that way. But like when mine isn't in italics,
right.
Then, you know, that's when the context has been delivered.
Exactly. So someone did point out that if you to call up some feedback here,
okay,
that we were talking about if you just had essentially a business card, but just for personal use, like not as a business contact. That's how we came up with the person cards.
Okay,
but this is already a thing. I guess the term for this is actually a calling card.
A calling card.
Which
okay,
I guess is the precursor to the modern day business card. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and that's what it said. But to me, I don't like that. I like person card better, because to me, calling card sounds like what a serial killer leaves on the body or something.
So that was my exact thought. So I was going to say, like, the Joker in the Batman series, like, doesn't he leave, like, a Joker card,
yeah,
like, from a deck of cards, like, at the scene of the crime?
And that's his,
like,
calling card.
That's his calling card.
Exactly.
Ah, no phone number, though, so kind of inconvenient. Not really that useful, either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've always thought that was super clever. The Joker from the deck of cards, I sort of love it.
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that. So, I'm sticking with person card.
Person card. No, I think it's perfect. And I think we will have them eventually.
Eventually.
And they will be CNC cut from stainless steel.
Oh boy.
And amazing.
Have you looked into getting stainless steel person cards?
I have looked into it before, like once upon a time. I think I've told you about this, like on the first episode of the cast, on the pop. And I believe that they cost about $5 per card.
Ooh.
So, like, if you were to buy, like, a stack of 100, which would be, like, a rather minimal order quantity for paper cards, you know, that's, like, $11.
Right.
It would be, like, $500.
Yikes.
So, yes, considerably more expensive, but also, I mean, like...
So, we'll have to have...
At least three times as cool. So, is the value there? You tell me.
In my mind, if we ever do this, these have to be, like, the holographic version. Like, if you buy a stack of, you know, like, if you buy a trading pack of something, of cards, like a booster pack,
right,
you have certain odds of getting like the really rare card.
Oh,
so like if you got it, yeah, most people would just get the regular person card, which would still be nicer than like a regular business card.
It's a great person card.
Yeah.
Above,
like,
average.
There's like a lottery of getting the stainless steel card.
Ooh,
so you're the rare one.
So then we only have to order like 10.
Yeah, maybe there's like an ultra rare that's got like a diamond stud in it or something.
What?
Who knows?
I'm just thinking here. This podcast has been nothing but perfect for Jay's enthusiasm and ridiculous ideas, which usually is my forte.
Dude, maybe I needed the pop to funnel these ideas.
Maybe. You needed like a place to put them. So much like the way that like our office is our landing zone for all of our like fandom related stuff.
Yes.
So like we have tons of Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel merch and decor.
Mm-hmm.
None of it is at our houses.
Right.
None of it is on display in our homes.
This
but
is,
at our office, it's floor to ceiling.
Absolutely. This is one of my issues before we really got into this section of YouTube, or before we became like fandom YouTubers, was that I would always go on to like thinkgeek.com or, you know, Hot Topic or FYE or wherever, and you'd see all these like super cool things. You're like, man, I really want this. And most of the time I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't buy. But if I did, if I could convince myself that it was really cool enough, then I would have the thing, whatever it was, and I wouldn't really have anywhere to put it, which was its own problem.
It is.
And so I want to know where, like, I guess some people have like a specific room in their house that you just put stuff in your own bedroom or whatever. But, you know, my wife doesn't want a bunch of Funko Pops in our bedroom.
She didn't take
any of my ideas.
What? None of them?
None.
Oh my gosh. So actually, for one, I love the idea that the pop is a place for you to bring your bad ideas, because I feel like I've been holding down the fort all by myself. And now
I don't think these are bad ideas.
Now we get to bond over bad ideas together, Jay.
Okay, speaking of questionable ideas, I think we normally start this pop with a corny joke.
A corny joke, yeah. Indeed. Yeah, yeah. Let me deliver one right to you.
Let me hear it, Ben.
Since this episode will be ultimately wedding themed, even though we haven't even touched on that at all, today's corny joke is going to be in theme.
Okay.
Yes. Did you hear about the two spiders who got engaged?
No, Ben. What about the two spiders who got engaged?
I hear they met on the web. Classic online dating joke, am I right?
Like the spiders spin webs.
Oh. I thought it was like because you wouldn't expect a spider to be on a computer.
Right.
Yes.
That is
my interpretation of that joke.
Boy, spiders on the internet. Don't Google it.
Think about it, right? I know. The idea of spiders living inside of your keyboard is like the most upsetting thing that's happened to me all week.
Why would you even say that?
Just imagine like as you type and then like as you hit each individual new unique key, you've rattled their cage from underneath.
People are gonna stop listening.
They're listening because it's morbid curiosity and the spiders emerge and they're black and hairy and terrifying. Man, I'm sorry for those of you driving to work right now that are now imagining spiders coming out of your air vents.
Wow. This took a dark turn.
Indeed. But they're all friendly spiders. They met on the web.
Exactly.
It's
they're
so
all
much
engaged.
Better. They're just going to the wedding.
They're all guests at one wedding.
There you go.
Yeah. But so your wedding, when people are listening to this, will have already happened.
Yes.
But as of recording, has not happened. So this coming weekend and for the following week, we will be in Disney World for
in
your wedding.
Disney World. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So Alice and I are having a full-blown Disney wedding. And for a smidgen of background here, so my fiance actually owns a bridal store, which is like a unique position for someone to be in as they enter the process of getting married. Because everything to her, like certain things are cliches to all people when it comes to weddings.
Right.
Everything is cliche to her.
Right. Because she owns a bridal store
and she's heard every story. And one thing that I think like that I was most self-conscious about after proposing was the realization that everyone says the words when they see the ring for the first time, "Oh my gosh, he did so good." and like, I remember when, I remember being so impressed with you when you got engaged because I heard so many people expressing this sentiment to Beth.
Right.
And I'm like, look at Jago. He's so good.
Did it.
Turns out you're completely average.
I'm completely average?
Well, based on the idea that everybody says it all the time.
Because, yeah.
But they meant it with yours, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. Have you seen Beth's ring? I liked it. That's why I picked it out.
That is such a good reason.
Yeah.
When you went to go buy the engagement ring, which for me ended up being like my hobby for like 3 months, the time
That's
it took
the
for
most
me.
Ben Carlin thing you've ever said.
I know it is. did you enter into the world of the four C's?
I did not.
No.
Not a pretty, like I'm aware of them. It's like color, cut, clarity, and
carrot.
Carrot. Yeah. Yes. That's the big one.
Or the small one.
Or the small
depending
one.
On, yeah. Realistically, for most people, the small one.
Yeah.
So those are like the four characteristics of a diamond that
right.
when I knew nothing about any of them or that there were even four C's prior to the hunt beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I did not know.
Oh, okay.
I did not know. And then as I started doing research and I was like, oh no, this is going to be such a thing. It's going to be like, and I got sucked in so hard to figuring out like just what the perfect blend of these elements mm-hmm. could possibly be.
So let me ask you then, it sounds like already yes, but just for clarification, did Alice have any role in the picking out of the ring?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. So and it took me, it was actually a really funny thing. So going back to the idea of like everything being cliche, everybody gets married around Christmas.
Yeah.
Like that's like a very common thing. So mm-hmm. right now, as of recording this, it's like the last day of the year of 2019. And this is like her busy season because
right.
everybody just got rings and they're all like, I got to go try on a wedding dress.
Got to go get a dress.
Right. So everybody is currently like, swarming to her store. So I decided, like, I was like pretty sure that I was like, ready to go, excited to get engaged in like October of 2018. And then I started doing like my research on all the ring related stuff.
Right.
And then the problem was, for one, I was having so much fun picking out the ring. I literally, right. the most recent time that I started playing Diablo 2, I literally did it as an intentional con so that when Alice went to work all day on Saturdays, I had some non-productive reason as to why I was not getting anything else done.
Oh, because you were looking for the ring.
Because I was was looking for the ring.
In Diablo 2 and in real life.
In Diablo 2, yeah, the Stone of Jordan, obviously. $1 skills, gotta have it. That's a ring.
Or Bulketho's wedding band.
Oh, arguably better.
The SOJ became like the currency, but Bulketho's, man. BK's.
I know, BK's ring. It had lifesteal.
Yeah. Ah, jeez, come on, guys. I guess it depended on your character class. It is alarming to me the number of times in just 5 episodes that Diablo 2 has already come up in this podcast.
Honestly, it's not enough if you ask me.
It's not enough. Anyway. Do we need like a whole like section of the podcast that's just Diablo 2?
The latest Diablo 2 update. What we should
news
do
from Ben
is start a clan. We can call it like the Colonel Clan.
The Colonel
and,
Clan.
And everybody will have KC before their name. Do you remember SF Bahamut from back when I used to play?
Yeah, because he would just give you all the stuff. And I was like, this was alarming to me, is that any time throughout the course of the years that you have decided that you've gotten the itch to fire up the old Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction.
Once every 2 years.
Yeah, it is amazing to me how within hours you will have like a sponsor.
Yeah.
By like random happenstance, this super experienced high level player will just decide you're their charity case and, oh, I've got extra stuff. I need to clear my inventory. Here's lots of free godly stuff that I deemed 1 point not good enough for me.
Yeah, exactly. This was like the only reason. This is the only video game I've ever been good at.
Right.
And because social skills come into play.
That's basically
it. It was purely like, and specifically, online social skills. So like, I think one of the skills that I hardened really well in high school was I was massive on AOL Instant Messenger. That
yes,
was like my thing. So I would like come home from like cross country practice and I would get on AIM and I would literally go through and open up like 9 windows and I would have 9 tiles going with 9 full blown conversations with people all at the same time. And so I got very good at communicating tone, I think, through text.
I think so.
That was like my skill. So then when I was able to transfer that to the lovely world of Diablo 2, Lord of Destruction, I was able to make friends like SF Bahamut.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Wherever you are, man.
I wish I could. I don't even know what his real name was. I just knew him as SF
thing.
Bahamut.
See, now even if he is a genuine listener, you'll have no way to confirm.
I know.
Like, oh my God, that was you? Popcorn culture?
Now I'm going to be like heartbroken if somebody tweets me and they're like, Ben, I am SF Bahamut.
Then you'll never know.
And I'll be like, I'll have ruined it by saying those words out loud because surely someone will do it now.
Well, surely someone will. I guess they'd have to show us their character profile within Diablo 2.
Oh,
right?
If they had that, if somebody had a screenshot of it, chances are that, I mean, I'd be right there because I was always playing with him.
Right, yeah,
constantly.
Whoever he was.
I know. It goes back to a period of time where it was still something that mom was worried about, like internet stalkers, maybe is still a problem as of today. I don't think about it nearly as much as I did when I was like 14.
Yeah, where they're like, if you put your real name online, you're gonna get killed.
Right. So I do think eventually I told him my name was Ben. And to me, that was sort of like this like major reveal,
whoa,
like to like let someone know my name.
It's so funny. This is again, like, I feel like we talked about this in the last episode. You so could have just easily lied about your real name. Yeah, my name's Kyle. He's not going to know.
I think his name was Kyle.
Wow.
I kid you not. Like,
wow.
I could not have brought that name to my memory. But when you said it, it was like, wait a second. Could that be?
Ben, I was SF Bahamut.
Dude,
nothing
would blow my mind more than if it was my brother the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I had people on running the account while I was watching you play, you know.
That would be amazing. I would be so impressed and
it
I would
want.
It
was not me.
Okay.
I'm not Kyle.
It was Kyle. It could have been Kyle. Goodness gracious. Anyway, so where do we tangented from rings. That
was the thing. So yes, back to wedding rings, weddings, Disney World, all that. What is your strong opinion on this week thing about purchasing rings? Because I can tell you that for me, it always seemed strange whenever I talked to a fiance to be, and she would say that she was picking out the ring. In my mind, as someone who was also about to propose, I was like, blasphemy.
Oh, sure. Like it was important to you,
like,
to do it yourself?
Yeah, I was like, no, of course the guy should pick out the ring. Or, you know, the person proposing
should pick out the ring. Surely.
Like, the other person doesn't have a say. What is this? Which kind of, like, they're the one who's going to have to wear it, so maybe they should have some say. But
to me, it's an interesting thing because it's maybe not like, you know, that they don't have like an opinion on it or whatever. But like, I feel like part of what is the romantic gesture about it is that it is like like you're filling in, you know, the other half of the puzzle piece or whatever, like by the selection of it, it's almost like what you choose, regardless of who you are and like which person, like which direction it's being purchased for. It's like the very nature of the fact that it is what you thought was right is what the symbol is like in some way, small shape or form reflecting back.
Yes.
Is the idea that like, you know, Beth wears a ring daily. That's your wife. That you picked out.
Right. So I like, yeah, I like the idea that, yeah, they're like, it, like the acceptance of whatever you picked is like sort of symbolic of also saying, yes, I'm going to marry you.
Sure.
But to that end, if I had proposed and Beth had not liked the ring and she wanted to exchange it, I think I would have been okay with it. I think my real holdup comes from, I feel like the proposal itself, if you picked out the ring, the proposal itself, there is no element of surprise
and,
to it.
And like, that's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's like where I think for me, for a long time, one of the things that I was always so excited about was the proposal itself. Like I was excited to do that because it was something that is sort of like distinctly yours as the proposer. Like you put together the scenario in which it exists in. Mm-hmm.
It's a very one-way street.
It is a little bit. It is a little bit. But I think that, again, I think it goes back to sort of like the romantic element of it. Like what you're putting into it, the way that you see it. Because no matter what you do, it is you, you know? Like you, right. Whatever you execute is exactly what you would do because it is what you did.
Right, that's sort of the argument. So like I've heard the argument that, oh, proposals are very like one-way. Like the typical scenario is that the guy is proposing to the girl.
Traditionally,
they have you know, so much power in that situation because everyone's been put on the spot or something like that. And I will say that I totally understand that sentiment, but I also think that largely, while I do think the proposal should be something of a surprise, like you should catch them off guard with it.
The answer to the proposal should not be a surprise. Right. Like, you are not going out on a limb by proposing.
You should not be surprising them with the act of proposing. You should be surprising them with the timing.
Yes.
Perhaps. I want to make sure I get this just right, because it's I can feel people being very touchy about it.
Sure.
Like, what I mean is, you should absolutely have discussed whether or not you want to get married ahead of time. The person should be expecting, shouldn't be surprised that you're proposing.
Yes.
They should be surprised by the all of a suddenness.
Right. Like the ability to catch them off guard.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So like when I proposed to Beth, we had definitely talked about getting married. We knew we were going to get married, but she didn't have any concept of whether or not I had bought a ring, when it was going to happen. And I think I successfully caught her off guard.
Right. Yes. No, I think you absolutely did. We
have it on video.
We do have it on video. It was pretty amazing. Oh my God. The funny thing about your proposal was that the girl that I was dating at the time, it was like a big secret that you were proposing.
Yeah.
And so I did not tell her that it was happening.
Right.
But everybody else in the room were our family members.
Yes.
And so she became the only person in the room who did not know that it was coming.
Besides Beth.
Besides Beth. So I got in a lot of trouble for that one. Mm. That one didn't go over as well.
Mm. Well, you live and learn.
You live and learn. And learn I did. Yes. So that was one of the rules for me, is that I didn't want to propose in front of a bunch of people. I definitely wanted it to be like as intimate as possible, mm-hmm. like just me and her. But the big issue was that it's October and I'm like ready to go. I dive into both Diablo again, which is a huge time commitment, obviously. And ring shopping. So big time of my life, obviously. Takes me long enough to the point where, like, as I'm narrowing in on what I'm going to, you know, purchase for her, it's so close to Christmas all of a sudden. And Christmas is, like, you know, obviously a big time for all the proposals to happen. So I was kind of like, okay, like, well, I'll let that wait out. But then immediately after Christmas is, oh my gosh, I'm completely blanking on February 14th.
New Year's.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. Man, I almost said Thanksgiving in mid-February. No.
That'd be great.
Turkey.
Again.
You
know, for Valentine's Day.
2.0. Yeah. So anyway, then you had Valentine's Day. So my big thing was, like, as I was ring shopping, I was checking out, and there was all these notifications popping up on the website basically being like, heads up, this won't be there by Valentine's Day. I almost said Thanksgiving again. I have no idea why.
Better you hungry?
Maybe. I think something has been like rewired in my brain. So I remember that it arrived on February 15th. So literally one day after February's Thanksgiving.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, well, I have to wait until I get through all of February, because that month is dedicated to February's Thanksgiving, and I can't have that problem.
This would be great if we just rebranded Valentine's Day as like Friendsgiving.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, everyone come over for turkey. It's going to be great. It's Valentine's Day.
It would.
Right?
It would take a holiday that seems to make a whole bunch of people sad and make people happy instead.
Yeah. Bring together all your friends. Like, if the purpose of Thanksgiving largely is to get around, largely you get around with your family. This is like dedicated Friendsgiving.
Oh my God, I love this so much more.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no, I absolutely think it's so funny how, like, you know, you, like, you don't get to choose your family, but you do get to choose your friends.
Yeah.
And, like, all the major holidays are, of course, always dedicated to spending time with family, which is fantastic. But there's not really, like, a dedicated time of year to spend with just your friends. Like, a holiday where it's, like...
A holiday for friends.
A holiday for friends. Ooh. And Valentine's Day is easily the worst holiday anyway.
So you don't celebrate Valentine's Day. I mean, you have to.
In like a manner of speaking. So again, she owns a bridal shop / flower shop.
Right.
So it is like one of the other busiest days of the year for Alice, where she like gets up at like 6 a.m. and she's like got 10 people driving delivery cars. And, you know, it's just madness. Just that one day of the year for Valentine's Day.
Sure.
So typically our tradition of it has been, after all the chaos, we go out and have like a big group dinner with the people who help make deliveries and, you know, buy a pitcher of beer.
Right.
At the local McAdoo's.
I know a couple years ago, I got Beth fries for Valentine's Day.
Dude, that was so adorable when you did that.
Yeah.
From Mission Barbecue. From is that
Mission
Barbecue.
Yeah, it's like her favorite fries. French fries come from Mission Barbecue. And I just got like a giant order of them. And she was perfectly happy with that.
That's amazing.
But like, yeah, when I see Valentine's Day, like often represented on TV shows, and people are like, it's the most romantic day of the year. We have to do something really big. And I'm just like, that is just not my Valentine's Day.
Not at all. You know? Not at all. Yeah. And that's I completely agree. So for me, I was like, okay, get through the Valentine's Day madness. I proposed to Allie on March 1st.
Right.
So that was like, that is like the proof is in the pudding, is that like, it was wait until it's over.
Wait until after February.
But not a second longer.
Right. There you go.
Yes. So it worked out really well. But anyway, so ultimately after, you know, an entire like 9 months worth of engagement, we're having our Disney wedding, which was set up literally the morning that I was planning to propose.
Wow.
Do you remember? I had a phone call with the people from Disney Weddings that morning to see if there was any way we could do like a collaboration.
Right.
Between the wedding and maybe like, you know, give Alice this amazing Disney wedding, but then also be able to afford a Disney wedding by doing something through our YouTube channel. So I remember being on the phone call with the like producer of Disney's Fairytale Weddings that morning, and she's asking me like, well, so when are you guys getting married? And I'm like, well, actually I'm proposing today. And she's like, you're not engaged yet? And I'm like, today, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
We talked about it. It'll be fine.
It's going to work.
It's going to work. So sort of the idea there was, okay, go get engaged. We'll talk later.
Right.
So we get engaged. It all goes well. And then basically immediately after, I'm like, also, I talked to Disney Weddings this morning. And she's like, what? which was kind of cool, though, because I felt like that it ended up being like somewhat part. Like, she was very excited about that prospect. So it ended up kind of sort of being a part of the proposal, is that like I had also like laid a little bit of groundwork for what the possible wedding could look like.
Right.
Which was cool.
That is fun. Cool. Yeah. That is fun. You'd have gotten that much out of the way. So you said she does not like traditional wedding things.
Right.
Right. Because it's like all day, every day.
Pretty much.
Okay. So I knew we were going to talk about weddings today.
So did you come prepared?
I came prepared.
Oh, goodness.
I came prepared. Hold on.
You're like a basket of fries on February's Thanksgiving.
That's the main course at February Friendsgiving.
Right, right.
Is fries.
Is fries.
Yeah, it's not turkey. It's just as many oven trays as you have in that little bottom drawer beneath the oven.
Yeah, of course.
You have to fill as many as you have, that's the rule, with French fries of whatever kind you want.
Jay, friend fries.
Friend fries. Oh!
Friend fries.
We're inventing a holiday.
We are.
On the fly. Right on the fry.
Right before your ears, people.
Okay. So, however many trays you happen to own right now, maybe you have like 5 or 6. That's a lot more work for you, but hey, these are the rules.
These are the rules.
I'm not making up Friendsgiving.
Maybe you should give away some of those pans after this.
Yeah, give them to your friends. They'll love it, for sure. That's how many trays worth of friend fries that you have to make, and...
I can see you feverishly working on your iPad and also trying to make words happen at the same time.
This iPad does not have Google Chrome on it, and I was trying to open a link I put in the show notes, and it was like, you have to download a browser, and I was like, why?
So, hang on while I download Google Chrome real quick.
So, hold on. I'm going to go through. I've pulled what I have here, I'm looking at, is a website, and it's just a list of wedding traditions that need to go away for good.
Okay.
So these are just the real, I think it's probably going to be a list of all the extremely common wedding traditions. And
okay, so
let me just say, I didn't make this list, and I don't even know everything that's on it. I sort of skimmed through it. Whether or not we think they are good or bad does not mean anything. These are strong opinions about weak things.
Strong opinions about weak things.
And if you did any of these things in your wedding, or you think they're awesome and plan on doing them, good for you. I hope you have a great day.
Absolutely. So I'm going to say that my entire basis for all this is that even Alice has completely redefined my scope as to what a wedding would have been like.
Yeah.
Because of her unique position in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there are things that I would have been jazzed about, but because of her unique perspective on it, yes, absolutely. I think that is where I'm coming from. Before we go into this, my prediction would be that any of these things that are things that like traditions that need to go away, my prediction going into it would be that we are not doing any of them.
Okay.
So I'm curious to see how we do.
Okay. The first one on it is matching ring sets between bride and groom.
I don't even know what a matching ring set would be.
So like if she has like a gold band with a diamond on it, then you would have a gold band that matched with her ring. Like your rings would look the same together.
No.
Like they're a part of the same bed.
They do not. Actually, right. Even her wedding band and her engagement ring are both a knife edge, but one of them is like diamond crusted and the other one isn't. Crusted. I'm sure that's not the word.
Yeah.
Paved.
Diamond paved.
I think diamond paved is actually the correct terminology.
It doesn't sound much better. It sounds like you ran over it with a steamroller.
Which I did. Oh. Obviously, yes.
Okay, then paved is exactly the right word.
When I made it from a former nickel. Actually, true story, I remember seeing one of those viral Instagram videos once upon a time of a guy who took like a, I think pre-1955 silver dollar was actually made primarily of silver.
Oh.
And he like drilled a hole through it and like hammered it down and milled it like into like a men's like wedding band.
Oh.
And it was like one of those things where I was like, I want to learn how to do that. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
He put that in a video?
It was just like one of those viral Instagram videos. Oh, okay. Where like the guy, it's all like all in like triple speed or whatever, and the guy
right.
like holds it up with the camera and then like drills a hole and hammers it down with like a spoon or something. Mm.
That would be one of those where it's like, it's so cool, but if it was me doing it, I'd be like, oh, am I going to get in trouble? Because like, isn't like destroying U.S. currency actually like, illegal?
It might be.
Yeah.
It well, might be. I wonder goodness. If like the age of the coin helps, like because it's like maybe out of circulation or no longer in production.
Mm.
That possibly could be your loophole. I have no idea. Total aside, one YouTube channel that I've always wanted to do is literally just taking any viral Instagram post and trying to recreate it.
Oh.
And just like, you know, like all the little hacks where people like take bottle caps and turn them into like hair dryers.
Right.
Like that's
you
one,
know.
That's gotta be one of them.
Someone's done that.
I wanna like watch it and then try to do like the Nailed It video where I attempt to recreate.
You just
want to
make Nailed It.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
On hacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does this work or not?
Anyway, yeah. Continue. All right, read the
All
list.
Right,
so
the next
no matching wedding bands.
The next one is the tradition of the bride's parents paying for the wedding.
No.
Yeah, I don't even... This one, even as a kid, I think I was like, I don't understand why this is a thing, and it seems weird.
It does seem weird.
Yeah.
It seems super weird, because, I mean, we have had help from all walks of, like, our family, like, from different directions. Mom and dad
right.
have helped, her mom has helped, you know, all the different things. But, no, I would say that we, Alice and I, have paid for, like, 85% of the wedding entirely on our own.
Mm, all right. Yeah, it seems like you're both getting married. Should either both sides should fund or you should personally fund it, or
yes.
like it seems very unfair that if for some like if you ended up having three or four daughters,
yeah, like
suddenly,
mom and dad
like,
got out scotch free
yeah,
on
like
this
our
one.
Our parents had three sons, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to have three sons, so
right?
Like, all right, no weddings. I'm gonna have three sons, and I am against this rule,
right? Know? No, I know for sure. That being said, mom and dad have been remarkably generous, so yeah,
okay.
They've done great.
So yeah, that one I'm okay with that one going away. white dresses only for the bride's gown.
White dresses only. Well, this is a weird one because, like, there's only one dress, right?
Well, I think, like, suggest this. Let's see. Let me. I think just for brides who don't want to wear a white dress.
Is that okay? Is that the question?
That's okay. Yeah. Is Alice... you haven't seen the dress.
I haven't seen the dress yet.
You haven't seen the dress?
I am fairly certain that it is, in fact, white.
I have seen the dress.
Ooh.
Personally, I don't know if she would be okay with me telling you that it is white.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
I feel like she would have told you if it wasn't. So it sounds like you haven't broken all of them. I don't care if people don't get married in a white dress. Beth did. I don't think that one has to go.
That seems like a little bit more of a, like, total preference call. Like, I would not in any way be upset if I attended a wedding and the person was not wearing a white dress.
Right.
Like, that, I would be like, oh, wow, like, that's like such a, like, unique way to customize your wedding.
Right. I think I don't know if it comes out of, like, a tradition, like, if the white used to stand for something, and that's why people wore white dresses once upon a time, but to me, like, the white dresses, it's like, it's just part of the wedding. It doesn't really mean anything other than you're the bride.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't stand for anything else to me other than bride.
Right. Yeah, that's, I have no other attached symbolism with the color white as it pertains to the dress other than that just generally is the bride, and also, like, that one aunt who, like, made a decision.
Yeah. Oh, you wore white
to a wedding.
Okay.
That being said, one thing that I desperately wanted that I found there was a surprising minimum amount of customization on is the groom's tux. Like,
Yes. This is a monopoly held by, like, Men's Warehouse.
Yeah. It's like, you can basically wear, like, a white tux, a blue tux, a black tux, or, like, some combination of, like, those elements. But, like, there's not that many different ways to really super customize your appearance, which was something, like, truly and honestly, I wanted to have a full sequin jacket.
You did?
Yes. I was like, I feel like it will be so extra and so spectacular and so cool. And Allie was like, no.
Absolutely not, huh?
Spoiler alert, I bought one.
Really?
I'm not wearing it to the wedding, but I will wear it sometime that night.
I'm so excited. I did not know this.
Yes.
I think if I had to guess, the reason for that would be because typically all of the groomsmen are wearing the same tuxedo,
yes,
including the groom.
Right.
And as a result, while I think in general, if you wanted to have an extremely custom tuxedo, that would be no problem. But it would be very difficult to get you and all of your groomsmen the exact same one.
Right. And then it might look kind of odd if all of a sudden yours was like a really nice black tuxedo compared to all the other black rental tuxedos, which also, by the way, I've seen all my groomsmen in them and they look fantastic. So
they do look good. Yeah. That's the thing. There's that. Yeah, it's hard to look too bad in a tuxedo.
It's true. That's what mom said when she saw a photo. She was like, I don't know if there's any more attractive outfit for a man to wear than a black tuxedo. So
I'm not sure if this is going to be on the list. It wouldn't surprise me. But then do you think men wearing all the same tux is something that should go?
That's something where I would say I did a little bit of my own, like, very inexperienced Pinteresting. And mm-hmm. And there are some wedding parties where, like, the groom will wear a different color.
Yeah.
And I've seen that and I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
But it would totally just be your own preference call.
Right.
I like, the thing I ultimately went with was black tuxedos, which I think is just classic.
Yeah.
I think that showing our kids eventually, like, our wedding photos, I felt reasonably protected from having done something weird.
Okay.
like my kids can't make fun of me someday for wearing a black tuxedo.
Ben, do not underestimate what...
The power of children.
What the children will make fun of you for.
Sure.
You
sure
cannot avoid it. There's no... You just have to lean into what you want and not worry about that.
Well, and the thing is, in the fullness of time, the funny stories will rise to the top no matter what. Like, mom always tells us the story of the time that dad gave her a truck full of gravel for her birthday.
Oh.
And it's like, I'm sure, you know, over the 25-something years they've been married, he's done a fantastic job of delivering many thoughtful gifts, but one year.
Right.
But I would even be willing to bet, knowing mom, she said, we need gravel more than we need a new, like, new handlebars for my bicycle or something.
Sure.
And it was an agreed upon decision. decision, but it still makes for a hilarious story.
It is a funny story that he just has to be the butt of that joke.
Yes.
For all time.
Sorry, Dad.
If you give someone a dump truck full of gravel for February Friendsgiving.
No, that's a great Friendsgiving gift.
Friendsgiving.
Stones, it's very well known that stones are perfectly acceptable exchange.
Non-precious stones.
No, exclusively.
Exclusively non-precious stones. Everyone should find a rock before.
Do not get it wrong, people.
If you bring a nice rock to Friendsgiving,
I will be upset.
Okay, so let me run down the traditions now for February Friendsgiving. It's on the 14th. It's all of your friends. You serve French fries on as many oven trays as you happen to own.
French fries.
I'm sorry. And everyone exchanges non-precious rocks.
Rocks. Yes.
I'm into this holiday.
Isn't it the best?
Okay.
I can't wait to celebrate.
All
right. We're not even that far away
right now.
Not
even, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to have to, I feel like we're going to have to do it.
We're going to have a full head of steam going into this year's February Friendsgiving.
Okay, so the next thing that has to go or stay as a wedding tradition are weddings on summer Saturdays.
We are getting married on a January Monday.
Yeah, I got married on a Saturday of the summer. This says couples don't have to tie the knot on Saturday in June, even though this is highly traditional. And it's like, I don't think people get married in June because they're like, we should get married in June because weddings are in June.
Yes.
I think people get married in June because that's when when people have time off.
Time off, and it's hard to compete with the fact that the weather is just more cooperative.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't want to get, if you get married in like mid-March or something, then you run the risk of it just being like a dreary day or you can't have an outdoor wedding.
Yeah.
That being said, though, I actually think that that's maybe a bit of a dated trope. The most popular wedding day in 2020 is currently October 10th.
Really?
Because it is 10-10-2020.
Oh.
And it's a Saturday.
That works out really well.
Not to mention, fall weddings have become huge. Super trendy.
Move over, summer.
Exactly.
It's too hot.
Yep. So I think that one's already on its way out. What do you got next for me?
Let's see. I'm trying to find ones that I feel are fun. Some of these. Let's see. Not seeing the bride before the wedding.
Okay. That is one that I will say I stuck to. So one of the big things that Disney loves to do for their Disney weddings is a first look.
Yeah.
And they'll have this moment like where they'll like have the groom facing the other way and you're not really supposed to know like when the like bride is walking up and she like comes up and like taps you on the shoulder.
Right.
Or you can like go back to back and you're literally standing like in a outdoor public space like right behind each other and then you do like a turn.
Yeah.
And like I think that moment, especially if you're capturing it on video, can be absolutely gorgeous. This is one where Allie is walking herself down the aisle.
Yeah.
So she does not have like anybody with her. That is a moment that I have wanted to preserve since the very beginning because I know she's going to walk around the corner and I'm going to cry.
Oh,
and
I know you're
she's
going to
be lights
too.
Out. And
yeah.
So
to me, that was because we also did the thing where we did not see each other on the day of the wedding until she walked down the aisle.
Right.
And to me, we had like this staircase she was going to walk down.
Right.
And so she was going to like come around the corner and then be at the top of the staircase. And I was like, I love the idea of that being the first time I saw her that day, like in her dress and stuff.
Right.
And we did do like a letter exchange where we like passed each other a letter like
from
around
like
a corner.
A door.
Yeah. Or behind a door or something. And we have some pretty funny pictures from that were pretty good. But that one, I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess it wouldn't bother me if you're like, oh yeah, we just met up that morning for breakfast or whatever.
Sure. Well, and she talked about that because she desperately wants to work out that morning to like burn off some of like her just like nerves and stuff for the day. And she did say that to me. She was like, we could get together in the morning and work out together so that like we could do that. It's like one thing before the wedding. And I will say that this one was one that I stuck to pretty hard that I'm like, I'm very much looking forward to, especially because we also spend so much time together that I am excited for the fact that we will have spent a night apart from one another and then like basically a full day leading up to the wedding. So there will be like, I mean, not a whole lot of distance. We've certainly gone longer periods of time without seeing each other, but it'll be like so refreshing just to like get to see her all at once and in that moment.
Right.
Like, that was something that I was so excited about in particular. So that's more of a me thing than a tradition thing.
Okay. All right. Next one. The song Here Comes the Bride.
We're not doing it.
Not doing it?
Not doing it.
I can't even remember if we did it. I think we did a modern version of it. I think Beth always dreamed about walking down to that. I think we did do it. I think Beth dreamed about like walking down the aisle to the song, but she had a very specific one she wanted.
See, this is exactly where we prefaced this conversation with saying like, it's okay if you do these things. It's like, ultimately, yeah, that's the big thing.
Oh, it's your wedding.
It's your wedding.
Do whatever you want.
But like, I want, it makes me happy to hear when people have like preferences like that because
right.
It's so cool. It's like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's something that was so important to you. That was one in particular that we decided not to do. And I think what she has landed on, in case it hasn't changed, is A Million Dreams from the Greatest Showman soundtrack, sang by Pink.
Oh, okay.
Is the song that she's coming into. It's a song that is very much about like dreamers, which I think is very much both of our personalities.
Mm.
And so it fits really nicely with us. So that's, she is walking into that, and I am walking into an acoustic version of Go the Distance from Hercules.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Here's one. Brideside and Groomside, like seating.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Who cares?
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what you meant by that. I was like, like teams? That seems like the opposite of the point of the day.
Yeah, that's what this website has a sign on it that says, today, two families become one, so please pick a seat, not a side. Yeah. I don't even remember if we did this. I think we had maybe a few seats reserved for, like, grandparents or something.
Sure, we have that too. Yeah,
yeah.
But that's because they are specifically walked in and, like, sat down.
Right.
But and that's purely because there is a need for the assistance.
Right.
A little bit. So that is why we have that. It is more of a function of how to do it. And there's a little honorary stuff with like walking, you know, the parents of the bride and groom into the center.
Okay. All right. Here, I'm interested on this one.
Okay. Lay it on me.
The Smashing Cake.
No way.
No way. You're not doing it?
No way. Absolutely not. Yeah. The cake, I think, was one of our bigger afterthoughts of the whole experience. I think it's going to be delicious. We will have a 3-tier cake that has, let's see here, lavender cake on the top and bottom.
Ooh.
With a lemon curd and blueberry filling is what the consistency of the top and bottom layer is. And then the middle one, we went a little more classic. It's like basic Disney's yellow cake, but the icing on that one is like the gray stuff.
Right.
From, you know, like the Beauty and the Beast, like try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Like the guy who invented the gray stuff is the guy who, it's literally that.
Oh, wow. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's
a
cool.
Fun little Easter egg at the wedding.
It is a fun Easter egg. Yeah. So, but no, we're not doing the cake smash. They offer you to do like the custom, like knife and serving. I don't even know what it's called. Like a pie shaped spatula.
Yeah.
What is that called?
Yeah. I don't know. Like a serving
square
thing.
Triangle.
Serving triangle.
So they offer you a knife and serving triangle, which we were like, no, we are uninterested in having, because how often do you serve like nice cake?
Right.
Never.
Never.
But you can have like your name engraved in the whole thing. They are beautiful. They look really cool. But we were like, of all the things we would spend money on, that is not one of them.
That is not the one. I know that Beth was very much against the cake smash at our wedding.
Did you do it anyway?
Oh, no.
Let me. You looked really serious all of a sudden.
I joked with her the whole time that I was going to do it anyway, and then I did not.
Oh,
I was just
gosh.
Like made her nervous the whole time, but I had no intention of doing it. This one, I think some of these things on this list, I feel like anything that is a wedding tradition, this list is attacking. And I feel like so many of these are just like, they're traditions because people have done them. Obviously, that's what traditions are, but I don't see like good, like, I think the reason people do them is because they're fun to do. Like,
sure.
No traditions make sense. You know, you just do them because that's the point.
At Christmas, we literally go and take a tree from outside and put it in our house.
Yeah, right?
And it's like, everybody thinks of it as normal because it's what we've done forever.
Yeah.
But, like, it's sort of an odd thing to do.
Yeah. I think the cake smashing, I know our youngest brother did do it. They were all about it.
They were.
And it was hilarious.
But it was so fitting for their type of, like,
yeah.
their relationship with each other.
Yeah. All of these things come down to the individual people. It's just whatever you want to do.
Yes.
Whatever you want to do. Oh, okay. Let me know. Are you guys going to... This is saving cake. So the tradition is to save a piece of your wedding cake and eat it on the one-year anniversary.
Ooh, I don't know the answer to that question. If we have a 3-tier cake, maybe makes it sound a little more fantastical than it is. I'm pretty sure that the top piece is like Like, you could probably eat it in a single sitting. Mm-hmm. It's a small piece of cake.
Yeah.
So it is possible that they keep that top piece for you. We have absolutely no plan for returning it to our home.
You do have a bit of a, like, you'd have to transport it home with you as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Which, like, I remember instead of going to Beach Week after graduating high school, we went down to the Florida Keys mm-hmm. and we caught, you know, like, sea urchins and stuff for our aquariums at home.
Yeah.
And we had, like, styrofoam coolers and air pumps. And,
oh, it was a nightmare.
Well, I loved it. It was great. But, so we drove all the way back from the Florida Keys to Roanoke, Virginia with, like, these rattling styrofoam coolers that mm-hmm. were, like, rubbing against each other and squeaking the whole time. Oh, man, fantastic. But, yeah, I have not put any of that kind of thought or energy into the idea of how I would return a cake to my home, like, 6 days after the wedding because yeah. we're staying in Disney afterwards.
Plus, then you have to keep it in your freezer for a year.
Right. Oh, goodness. Yeah. We have a small freezer.
I know we did not do this. I don't think we have a piece of cake sitting somewhere in storage that I'm aware of.
You have moved since you've been married.
Since we've been married. So you'd think I would know this. I don't think we did. And I know people who have done it. And I think on most reports, people have just reported that the cake is year-old cake. It does not taste good
anymore. It's not that good.
It's
okay.
Like, this is a... So, yeah, I mean, go for it. I understand. I almost feel like if you're going to keep it, just keep the cake. Like, don't even eat it. Just, you know, here's a piece of cake from that day.
I'm curious as to why they would say that that's a tradition that needs to go. Because I have no idea who that harms other than...
None of these harm anyone.
Sure.
For the most part, I don't think. Oh, okay. Here's one. Toasts, like, from the Maid of Honor and Best Man.
Oh, we are doing that one.
Oh, yeah. Why would you want to get rid of this? I don't understand. This list is so anti all things.
It's like, at some point in time, literally, what is it suggesting you do? Go to a yeah. Pizza Hut and have...
That's right. Just have yeah. a party.
Right.
Don't even have a ceremony.
Yeah. Right, no. It's
I do's. Exchanging of rings. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Yeah. Yes. And stay
go
weird.
To the courthouse, people. Let's just abolish the whole thing.
Right, yeah. We're going to exchange bicycles instead.
Yeah.
No, actually, Allie has talked about that before, too, in the process of selling bridal gowns. She says, like, she's like, I do sell ceremonial garb, is literally what she calls it. Like, if you were to think about that, like, in the context of, like, a smaller village or whatever, yeah. like, she would be the person in town who sells something that is very important to so many people, but actually also, like, somewhat non-essential to the comings and goings in the existence of that village.
Yeah.
So... It is kind of interesting to think that is like what that she peddles ceremonial garb.
Ceremonial garbs.
Yeah.
Okay. Garbs. We'll make this one the last one just because I think this list goes on for a long time.
Okay.
I don't think you guys are doing this one. The tossing of the bouquet/garter.
Oh my gosh, we're not doing it.
You're not doing either.
Not doing either.
Oh.
No. Oh my gosh. I am 30 and most of my friends are now married, which means I've been to a whole bunch of weddings where I've had to participate in these things. And the bouquet toss, I'm more okay with, maybe because I didn't have to participate in those. I'm not sure. The garter toss has always made me like kind of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. Like, it's always one of these things where like you're like taking something off of like one of your best friends, now wife, and then like flinging it at them.
Right.
And I don't know. I've never been able to like really wrap my head around it. I remember the first time I was involved with one of these, I really didn't even know what it was.
I feel like I growing up, you hear it about the bouquet toss all the time.
Right.
As a pretty standard wedding tradition. Yeah, I too entered adulthood never having even heard of this.
Yeah, no, I
hadn't. And to me, the garter toss feels like someone wanted to come up with a male equivalent.
Like something for the other way.
Yeah. Something on the other side.
The idea, of course, being basically like whoever catches it is like, you know, it's like good luck towards them being married mm-hmm. next.
That's the idea. Is if you catch the bouquet, you're next to be married. That's the good luck. That's the superstition.
Sure. Yeah, no, so I remember the first time that this happened, because the other thing about a garter is they don't throw well.
No.
It's like a flimsy piece of fabric.
Yeah.
But I remember the guy, he stood up and he sort of did like a rubber band, like where you take two fingers and like stretch it back yeah. and like shot it into the crowd. And I caught it and I was like... Well, okay. It's like, and I was like, you know, like I put like a fist in the air and was like, woo, I But then I was like, I felt uncomfortable holding it. I'm like,
you want this back?
Do I, like, should I give it to you? Like, do I put it in my coat? What, like, I even just thinking about it right now, it's making me uncomfortable.
You look uncomfortable.
Like, yeah, I never knew what to do. So that was one, and I actually dreaded it at weddings. Like, it was the type of thing where I would, like, try to go get a drink or, like, run to the bathroom, like, if I knew that it was, like, coming up.
Oh.
And sure enough, there is, like, a person at every wedding whose job it is to make sure you're wrangling up all the unmarried men for this particular thing.
Oh, yeah,
Someone is there, and it's, like, it's the type of thing where they're like, Ben, we need you for the garter toss. And it's like, you don't need me for anything. I am not important to this day.
Afraid not.
Right. Mm-hmm. I will give a speech if you need me to give a speech. I'll cry for sure. But that's the only involvement. Yeah. So we are not doing, that was sort of the thing, is that I think that was, like, the only real, like, major, like, me putting my foot down on, like, a, I don't want to do this
right
type of thing. And so I think with that, we just sort of decided we wouldn't do the bouquet toss as well, because it would be like, can you do one without the other? I suppose you could, but we didn't.
Right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I am so looking forward to your wedding and whatever different unique things you will be doing at it.
Yeah, I hope it goes well. The last thing that we can talk about here before we close out today's pop is, there is this element of a Disney wedding, and this is not something that I'm promising or expecting or hoping for or really anything, but, like, there is this thing that you see, especially, like, on the Disney wedding TV shows, where, like, Disney, like, adds a little magic to the wedding.
The Disney magic.
And this is something that I think, because I'm having a Disney wedding, a lot of people have approached me because they've seen, like, the television show before. They're like, what's your Disney magic gonna be, do you think? And I'm like, I don't think it's gonna happen personally. But the question is, I keep wondering if somehow, some way, Mickey Mouse will show up at my wedding.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Have they talked to you?
They have not talked to me about any Disney magic.
I'm looking to see if the corners of your mouth are, like, flicking up with a small "I'm lying to you" grin.
No. I would have definitely had some thoughts about what I want it to be. It's exciting because, yeah, people do talk about it, but it's like, well, certainly, obviously, they do that for the TV show.
I know, whatever. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's like the TV show, and that's, like, the distance between what a Disney wedding can be like is huge.
Right.
But, like, when you tell people you're having a Disney wedding, if they are even remotely aware of the television show, they're like, oh, wow, this is gonna be crazy.
Mm.
And it's like, well, you can go and have, like, a 3-person wedding at Disney where you just book the venue.
Right.
Someone marries you. They put aside a corner for you with a bottle of champagne. And that's, like,
and the
whole thing.
Right.
So I think my wedding planner, when we first met him, when he first started, there was, like, this whole thing with Disney World in the early 90s where I think in particular, Japanese couples were coming to Walt Disney World to get married.
Right.
Like, it was, like, a huge trend or a fad or whatever. And I think he said in, like, his first, it was either, like, his first month or 60 days, he had done, like, 207 weddings.
Whoa.
Some insane amount
that's, like, multiple weddings every single day.
Well, there's so many places you can do it, you know? Like, that's the other thing. Everybody thinks you're getting married in front of the castle.
Oh, right.
Which is not, that it is so expensive.
Right.
And you have to do it at midnight because you have to, they're not shutting the park down for your wedding.
Absolutely ever. Not.
There's no way in the world you could spend enough money compared to the attendees of a park at any given point in time. So they're never closing it for anybody. So literally, if you ever see a wedding that took place in front of the castle, it happened at somewhere between midnight and 2 a.m.
Right. When no one was in the park.
Right.
Except you. Which is kind of cool, too.
That is kind of cool. That's an opportunity in and of itself.
Have you, so you mentioned Disney magic. Have you, like, when they talk about it for the weddings, it's like as if Disney is supplying some sort of crazy unknown event that you don't know is happening.
Right.
Right. But typically when you go to the parks, one of the big things Disney is trying to manufacture is that feeling of the Disney magic in some way, shape, or form.
Like to give you a positive experience in an unexpected way. So like, I think, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Like for our dad, for example, we had the chance to bring our parents to Disney as adults, which was kind of a cool like inverse on them taking us as children to kind of return the favor. And dad, who is a bit of an outdoorsman, you know, he's like he likes fly fishing, you know, riding his mountain bike, kayaking, stuff like that. I think for him he was sort of like, all the ways I could go and spend my vacation, I don't think that Disney is necessarily how I would do it.
Right.
But I think we get down there and there was this one occasion where Dad went off and he was asking somebody for directions or something. And he started telling him like our little story and how we got to be there. And they gave him like 3 free fast passes.
For everyone in the family.
For everyone in the family. And this was Disney magic for Dad.
Yeah.
It was like this specialized experience that they gave him where Dad got to come over and I think feel like he just got like to contribute so much to our trip, which it did.
I mean, we had set plans for the rest of the day and it was like everyone has brand new fast passes. Well, I have to change our plans.
I know. Yeah. It was unbelievable. So the Disney magic really like, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. But anyway, you were going to ask. You said.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Have you in any of your other times at Disney World had a Disney magic moment?
Oh, like in the parks?
Yeah, like in the parks.
Oh man, fascinating question. I think similar to that, probably the only thing that's happened. No, we have had something happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's somewhat because of who we are.
Okay.
So obviously like we create most of our content. I'm sure most people listening right now know us from the YouTube channel Super Carlin Brothers, where we do a lot of Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, right. Marvel, all that type of stuff. And there was a day where we were sitting down to like a dinner at the you were with me. Where were we?
The Jungle Cruise.
The Jungle Cruise.
Okay.
Yes. And the waiter comes over and he's like completely in character. You know, he's doing all the puns, he's cracking jokes, he was completely hilarious the whole time. He sits us down and he goes, like, you know, this guy's gonna be your waiter. Hope you guys enjoy, and I'll see you in another life, brother. And it like that's how we close every Super Carlin Brothers video, and it was like, he watches the channel. Like
it was pretty
like,
fun.
We all gasped when we looked over and he sort of gave this like look over his shoulder and gave us a grin. And it was like, I don't know. That was one of those special moments, but that's not something that I think any Disney cast member can just deliver to every guest.
Right. For sure.
That was a special case.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I think on our last trip we had, I got to feel a little bit of the Disney magic on like several occasions. Well, one was certainly when Dad came over and was like, guys, guess what? And I was like, whoa, that was so cool. But we were there with my son Luke and it was so cool. I think having a child there is a whole different experience because they get to experience things and you kind of get to like watch them experience it.
Yes.
It's such a different thing. But so when he met Mickey and Minnie, that was like really cool. Like I was so nervous about whether, because I feel like a lot of kids are either really excited about the costume characters and some are terrified.
Sure.
But he was super excited, and I remember like that Minnie gave him like a little kiss on the cheek or whatever, and then he gave her a kiss, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know, it was like really special. And then we were at the aquarium in
Are you teared
Epcot.
Up?
No, I'm not tearing up.
You are a little bit.
Everything with Luke is so great all the time. And we were at the aquarium and we were at the manatee tank and he was sort of staring at it and there wasn't anything to see. And he like turned around and looked at me and then I look up and there's the manatee is like right in front of him all of a sudden. And he turns around and he goes, whoa! And it was just like, you get to like see him have this crazy experience. I mean, it was like looking at him.
Right, you know?
It was
right.
So cool. Yeah, that was really fun. And then the other one was while we were at the Animal Kingdom, they had this thing with the parrots.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
So when Beth and I, the first time we ever went to Disney World together, we got there at Rope Drop, which is like when the park opens, and they have them, like the macaws, come in and do this like trained flight pattern. I remember thinking that was the coolest thing. And so that when we brought Mom and Dad down, we were like, okay, we have to get to Animal Kingdom at Rope Drop. We're going to do this cool thing with the parrots. Like, we got to be there for that.
Right.
And we're all like rushing out there to get there. And we get there. And I don't know if there was like extra magic hours or something that day, but we thought we were getting there at Rope Drop. The park was already open. It was like,
right.
Oh, we missed it. But then we're just like walking through the park at random and all of a sudden look over and there is this giant collection of parrots, just a part of this like bird show thing. And we walk around like, oh, we should go see this real quick. And like we got there like 5 seconds before it happened. And all of a sudden they're like, all right, everyone, this is a great time. If you're going to stand right here, pull out your phones and like maybe set it to slow motion or something. And I mean, we literally walked up. They said that I pulled it out, hit the button. And this like 30 parrots just flew right at.
Like, and they're all different colors.
They're all different colors. It was like the coolest piece of video I've ever filmed ever.
Yeah.
And I was so excited because I think I'd been telling Dad about this particular thing all week. And I think he was so excited to see the parrots when we got there. And then we just missed it, and then he happened to like walk up with me, so it also happened to him, and it was really cool. And yeah, those are my Disney magic moments from the last time we were there.
That's amazing. That's
yeah.
So many good ones. So many good
yeah.
ones.
Yeah,
that was a great trip.
It was a good trip. So I'm excited to go back, see what else happens. Luke is all about Mickey Mouse as well, and he's been watching a lot of Toy Story and Cars lately, so I have a feeling he's going to be really freaking out at the amount of Mickey Mouse he's about to
He's going to be a bit more tuned in this time.
Like, last time he was sort of like, ooh, that's a cool thing in a costume. Now he's going to be like, oh my god, you're Mickey Mouse!
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Luke is like 2 in change, and this will be his third trip to Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Poor kid. We have a cool job.
There's some weird series of circumstances, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Popcorn Culture, the Popcast.
Yeah, the Pop. Let us know what, if you've been to Disney World or Disneyland or any of the parks, what Disney magic moments you have experienced, because I always love hearing about them, whatever they are, for people. It's always so unique.
I know. It's so special yeah. In particular. The other thing that I would love to know is, out of all of the Disney wedding tropes that we ran through, are there any that you are...
Or just wedding tropes at all.
Yeah. Is there anything that you're particularly adamant about or not adamant about? One last thing I'll throw in there, because I was looking for a few before we hopped on here. One thing I saw was people, like, a bingo card and one of the bingo squares was having to address your own thank you card is like a thing that people do. Like, so ultimately, like, you know, you bring like a wedding gift or whatever to the wedding.
Yeah.
And then eventually the bride and groom send you a thank you card for it. I guess the idea there is that they literally have like a stack of envelopes and they have you fill out like your address on the envelope so that you don't have to do it like later.
So that it can be mailed to you.
Yes.
Oh.
That is so lazy. I was like, how could this be on a bingo card? It's just like, I've never had someone ask me to do that at a wedding.
I've never been to a wedding where I had to do that. It's funny that you say lazy, because in my mind, I'm like, that's so productive.
No way. So you're for it. Okay, well, that's fair. Like we said, there are no wrong answers.
It's your wedding. It's your day. Do whatever you want. Have a blast.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.